y'all, and welcome to Mulder Was Right. We're a podcast that discusses conspiracies and jokes about them because it's funny. I'm your host Anderson, here with some other fine people.
Brendan,
Curtis,
and Joe.
Hey, there he is.
Hey,
he's kind of down on the floor. He's real small.
Keith couldn't make it today because of issues,
that's stuff, and things.
It's all good.
Yep.
Yeah.
Life finds a way.
Of course.
Yeah. So, I got something for y'all. Y'all ever heard of the Majestic 12?
I know the Magnificent 7.
You've made that joke six times.
It's five times, and I had to say before Brendan stole it.
Yeah, it's true.
I wasn't going to steal.
You
it,
actually, looked like you had that face.
Before we delve in here, I actually want to just give a quick shout out to something that we're newly doing. We're going to be doing some like short little interludes here on the Anchor app. Anchor is an app that you can download for your smartphone. And basically, it's kind of like podcasting light, to where you can record podcasts from your phone of sorts, but they're all like very short form. So we're going to be doing some stuff with that. Yesterday, we actually released a little trailer for this episode. So that's fun.
Yeah.
And right after this episode, we're actually going to be releasing a little thing about our thoughts and everything. So let us know what you guys think, because you guys can call in and you guys can leave us your thoughts. And we'd love to hear from you, because we do this because it's fun for us, but we'd also like to sort of make it a dialogue. So let us know what you guys think. Call us in at MWRcast on the anchor.fm. So check us out there.
Hell yeah. Hit us up.
Mama always said I had a voice for radio. And a face.
Well.
When they can't see that face.
That's why it's made for radio.
Yeah. yeah. So, Majestic 12. Y'all heard of anything like this?
Magnificent 7 and 7 Samurai. But that's about it.
Yeah. The Hateful Eight.
I like the idea of a base 12 number system that apparently some cultures used.
I like it. I wonder if they had extra digits.
Yeah, I really feel like base 10 makes a lot of sense because we have 10 fingers.
Yeah.
Usually. yeah, maybe something happened.
Shoproom accidents notwithstanding.
Look, turns out the people who used the base 12 system actually had 12 fingers. Whole society of them.
Mutant people. That's a different episode, though.
Ooh.
Mangels. Yeah. So, however, y'all may not have heard of the Majestic 12, but I bet y'all have heard of the Men in Black.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I've heard of them.
Yeah.
We are the Men in Black? Galaxy Defenders?
Something like that, yeah.
All right, cool.
I love Will Smith.
So...
He was the prince.
Before I get into the details, like, the Majestic 12, they're related. That's the thing. So we'll get into that in a second. Basically, the group titled Majestic 12, or sometimes just MJ12, or just Majestic, but misspelled.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Was supposedly created by President Harry S. Truman.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was said to be a mixed panel of scientists, military men, and like government officials. And their job was to catalog and, you know, capture alien technology. So, like, they were the people who cleaned up or who were responsible for the cleanup of Roswell.
Okay.
So, like, that sort of gives you an idea of what their mission was. They were supposed to find stuff, get to it before, you know, whoever else could. And deal with it.
They didn't do the best job in Roswell.
No, they didn't. There's a few others, too. Like, supposedly, they're, like, they just handle all the alien crashes now.
That's pretty
just
cool.
The thing. But, I'm also start this off. This is a very, very flimsy one, but it's kind of interesting, because it's permeated pop culture with, you know, I want to say, actually, in the X-Files, there was, what were they called? Like the Syndicate or something? But there was a shadowy group who handled all the alien tech, stuff like that. Men in Black, same inspiration. But this is actually only based on two documents. Well, two sets of documents.
Not even 12.
Not even 12.
Maybe there were 12 pages in the documents.
Yeah, there was like 20-something.
All right. Was it divisible by 12?
I wish it was not. That would have been great. We could have gone off on another numbers tangent.
Numbers tangents are the best.
We do that occasionally. 888. It's just a good time.
The only 20-something number divisible by 12 is 24.
Ooh. Curtis is on point tonight. Welcome back, by the way. It's been a little while.
Hey, guys.
So, let's see. The group's existence was supposedly brought to light in the 1980s by a guy named Jamie Sandera and his buddy William Moore. Now, Sandera was not a UFOologist, but he was literally just sitting in his house.
Ufologist.
Ufologist, excuse me. Moore was the ufologist. So, Shadera, he's apparently just sitting in his house, drinking coffee, thinking American thoughts, and somebody slips an envelope through his front door and just runs away.
That's really the only way you could communicate back before the internet.
Yeah, it's true. That and, like, ravens and smoke signals.
Is it like when you leave, like, a child, you're just like, I don't want this information?
Oh, man, do you remember when you could send children through the post? Because that was a thing.
I didn't know that.
I remember seeing that in movies.
Side tangent. That was allowed. You could just put like a post-it note, like
a post-it
safety
note?
Pin it to your child, and you're like, hey, please deliver them to this address.
But couldn't you? You didn't have to pay them?
I mean, I think there was a shipping fee. But
so you had to like walk.
There was no Amazon Prime for children.
Yeah,
moving.
But you had to walk.
Were
there
drones for children? And they just like stick those on them
and then hand them your child.
Yes, generally the postal service, depending on your moral standings. But beyond that, so you know, and inside this envelope that was suspiciously delivered to this guy was just a roll of undeveloped film and nothing else.
And so he just immediately exposed it and ruined the film, and the story's
yes,
over.
He just tore it out of its
that's
shell
what happens.
And waved it around in the front yard.
Did the envelope say, please open in a dark room?
But, well,
was the envelope addressed to anyone?
It was addressed to him.
Okay, so okay. It had his name on it.
It also had a New Mexico postmark on it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Someone mailed it and then got it and then slipped it under this dude's door and ran away.
Yes.
They didn't just mail it normally.
Nope.
He didn't just get it in the mail. Under the door.
Yeah. Yeah, there's. I thought that was weird, too. It was like, hand-delivered by a suspicious man. Also, it had been through the post.
It's got to sound weirder than normal.
Yeah.
What if it was just like his neighbor? Like, it just...
like, neighbor just
like
yeah.
He just
with
got
him?
Delivered to the wrong house. And he's like, God damn it, not
I
again.
Keep getting his mail. I hate talking to him. And here's your mail.
Here's your weird mail.
And it just happened to be, like, sensitive information.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, so he was
so
like,
he,
I
so
am...
he took it into his dark room.
No, actually. He was not a ufologist, excuse me, or a conspiracy theorist, really. But he was friends with one. That's where Moore comes in. He went over to his buddy's house and was like, yo, I got some shit and I don't understand it. So he was the one who, Moore was the one who developed it. And
no,
it was,
what happened was is they opened it and it got exposed to the light and then it was ruined.
And then they just made up this story just to not sound like
how,
a pack of dumbasses.
That's what happens when you expose undeveloped film to light.
Well, it was like in a canister, but... I like your
I guess,
version better.
But it can't be in an envelope then, or be slipped under a door.
No, like through the mail slot. I don't know.
People
oh,
okay.
Maybe
mail
their
slots.
Mail slots were thick. But anyway. So yeah, Moore took the film and he like processed it. And it turned out to be photographs of documents.
Okay.
Yeah.
Photographs of
ye
documents.
Ye old photocopy.
I guess that's an efficient way of mailing a bunch of documents.
Yeah. It also is probably harder to like
oh, yeah,
disprove them.
Yeah.
You're like, well, we don't actually can't actually look at the documents. We have pictures of the documents, so yeah, it was supposedly it was like 20 some pages detailing Majestic's like activities and mission statement type stuff. It mentioned Roswell, it mentioned a couple other incidents. It also mentioned one actual, like, proven thing that happened, which was Project Blue Book. Did y'all know about Project Blue Book?
No.
No.
Ooh, okay. Story time. Project Blue Book was a United States Air Force project that is completely proven, and there are public records of, and their mission was to catalog sightings of unknown craft. And they actually, they existed for a while, because they, I think they were created in the wake of, I think it actually might have been right before Roswell, but they were active until the 1970s. Hmm. So they, that is a true fact. That is a real thing. Blue Book actually happened, and it was mentioned in these documents as well, which lends it a little bit of, like, credence, but not a lot. It's about the one thing that everybody's like, yeah, no, that happened. The rest of these documents,
right,
I don't know.
And you're really
that.
Just saying there were a group of guys looking for UFOs, which there are many groups of guys looking for UFOs in the world.
It is true.
That in itself is not impressive.
If the Discovery Channel has taught me anything, there are many groups of them. Some of them hunt big feet.
We could be said to be one of those groups
I believe
of guys.
We
I
could,
think we
actually.
Are
we
now.
Could.
Yeah. No, we. I think
because
we fall into that category.
The truth's out there.
Yeah, except the they all have there. Funding. We don't really.
We I want fun. To believe.
I want to believe in our future funding. But yeah, no. So the these documents also claimed that a couple of the members were, and I quote, from a article that I read. Well, our sources will be uploaded, so you can look at them.
Of course.
Oh. That a Dr. Vannevar Bush was an inventor, engineer, and he was a head of a U.S. scientific research and development during World War II. So they had, like, some top scientists. They had a retired admiral, and he, the first director of the CIA, was on the panel, supposedly.
All right.
And also a doctor who was a theoretical astrophysicist and apparently an avid UFO debunker. So they, like, supposedly put some skeptics in the group.
So they got both sides.
Yeah, yeah, to have both sides. Because it'd be kind of ridiculous to have 12 guys, and it's like, hey, your thing is to handle, like, alien, or, like, not alien, but supposedly alien technology, and then you, all of them are just like, hell yeah, it's all aliens. Definitely. Every one of them.
You gotta feel the playing field there.
I imagine it was just the one skeptic, and no one liked to sit with him at lunch. Just by himself.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't believe.
11. He was the fifth doctor out of four out of five dentists.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So, and then a different UFOologist. Ufologist. It's my favorite word now. Shandara and another one named Shanton T. Friedman received an anonymous message later that actually led them to another. This is the second set of documents, which was called the Cutler Twinning Memo, in the declassified section of the National Archive. So, like, they had to dig for it. But it's this this one's even less, like, believed than the original Majestic 12 documents.
Then the some guy got sent something.
Some dude got randomly sent.
And he shared it with his buddy.
Paper that said this.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Wait, so, like, so the guy who got that wasn't an ufologist, but his friend was an ufologist. So did they just get the address wrong and they were like, well, we know this guy knows him, so he'll just...
No, because you said it was mailed...
I believe it was addressed to him.
Okay.
But, yeah, there's a couple, like, one of them said it was addressed to him. One of them said it was, like, it's, you know, it had, like, postmarked and had clearly gone through the mail at some point. And then one source was like, it was a blank envelope. So,
well,
kind of take
nothing.
That as your will.
That's
yeah.
literally.
So it could be any one of...
Yeah.
It could be anything. Something was on the envelope or it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's interesting.
All right, then.
For something that has, like, been brought into the pop culture thing with, like, the Men in Black, there's not a lot on this. And it gets better. I'll get to how this impacted the ufologist community later.
Man, I feel like the Oofologist needs like a Facebook page. They probably have one.
Oh, yeah.
We need to get on this Facebook page.
No, they have an
page.
Official one. I don't know if it's Facebook. They have an official website. It's literally like UFO trackers or something. And like,
oh, dude, we should get an Oofologist on.
Yeah. No, that'd be sweet. We should definitely.
I don't know
talk
what we talk
them.
About, but probably just like what they do.
Probably talk about UFOs.
I was going to say Oofology.
We can't have an Oofologist on the show because I will literally call him an Oofologist and literally call them UFOs to his face.
Oh, man.
We're like sending the emails to try and talk to them and be like, all right, so. Is it okay if one of us calls you an Oofologist? And like it's not coming through because we're like just right. emailing. So he's like, yeah, that's
like,
what
yeah,
we're called.
Oofologist, fine.
That's what we're called. No, you don't understand. Can one of us repeatedly call you an Oofologist?
O-O-F-ologist. But, yeah.
No
so,
response.
Right, yeah. And then they never talk to us again and we're blacklisted. But yeah, so this other memo contained references to the Majestic 12. But there's more evidence that this was actually planted and like made by someone else as a hoax to support the original documents. Mm. Because the Cutler twinning, there was a man named Robert Cutler. He was Truman's assistant to the general twinning, and this was a memo between them, supposedly. Mm. However, the problem arises that Cutler was out of the country the date that it was supposedly written. So, and it was not sent from where he was supposedly
All right.
in. So, yeah, it's very pretty clear that like somebody was like, hey, I'm going to fake this thing, but not too well. Just a little bit. Like, it's late and I'm tired, but I feel like making a hoax instead of like I'm gonna dedicate to this hoax. This is the yeah. like Sunday night homework hoax instead of the you've been studying all week homework.
Sounds like my kind of hoax.
Yeah, right. You're like, hey, this definitely happened. I wrote it down on a thing and snuck it into the National Archives.
That
was the most work he put into it.
First of all, that's a lot of effort though.
Yeah.
Sinking something into the National Archives.
But like you think he could have gotten his dates
right.
Yeah,
you would have thought that if he had gone that far, he could at least like
put the correct date on it. They also think that the signature was actually lifted from another document and traced because they found one that looks identical. Mm. Like not that just, oh, that's definitely his handwriting. Like there's the same scratches from the pen. Like, he just photocopied it on, and he was like, yeah, perfect. Got
yeah.
it. Did it.
I mean, that's what all of my, like, diplomas look like. They're not actually signed by anything. Or, like, yeah. like all the stuff that we get in the mail. They're not actually
anyone.
Signed by anyone.
Yeah.
They're just
You said anything
photocopies.
The first time, and that was unsettling. Like, we're looking for things to sign our documents.
Are you not?
Things from beyond time and space beyond our comprehension. Please sign here.
I don't know if the dean to my college is like a human being or if he's an alien or if he's like a box
being?
Or something.
He could be an UFO.
He could be an UFO. I don't know. I don't know too much about him.
Got to be careful of them UFOs.
The great
they
thing,
do like to sign things.
The great thing about UFOs is that there definitely are UFOs because there definitely are objects I've seen flying that I could not immediately identify.
Yes.
And so...
Yeah, that is a big thing because, like, unidentified flying objects absolutely exist. Whether they're aliens from beyond our planet is a different story.
Like, far away, throw a basketball and you couldn't make out the basketball. That was an UFO.
Yeah. Well, actually, there was that rash of alien sightings when they were developing, like, the SR-71 Blackbird. Because they do test flights, and people are just like, what the hell is that black shape?
Yeah.
Same with the stealth bomber that's just like the flying wing?
I believe both times the government was like, just calm down. It's...
Well,
we can't talk about it, but...
Yeah, like, they only were like, yeah, my bad, that was totally us. Like, once they were released to the world, they were like, before that, they were like, yep,
Definitely
might be UFOs flying around here. Absolutely not secret military tech that you shouldn't be looking at. Go home, peasants. Stop looking at the sky.
Yeah, I mean, the Dyatlov Pass, there were a bunch of UFOs. Now, those ones we don't actually know what they are.
Yeah.
They're just flashes in the
Might have been Soviet missile test.
Or, you know, actual...
Exposed film.
Yes.
This is what that looked like.
It's film that, you know, that would be the exact type of film when they just open it up and exposed all the film. And
yep.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah. You ever tried taking pictures of lights at night on even a modern camera? Not the easiest thing sometimes.
Cameras are hard.
Yeah.
You'd think it'd be easy to just like take a picture of something and be like, yeah, that's it. But no, there's a lot of lighting and stuff.
It's a finicky little thing.
And our eyeballs have all the settings are just perfect on our eyeballs.
That is the most depressing thing when you get your camera out to be like, this is beautiful. I am going to capture this thing. And then you look at it through your camera lens and it's just like
black
dumpster fire garbage. Of a thing. Yeah.
I have been there.
I do that on
times.
A daily basis.
Yeah, you're like, that sunset's dope as hell. I'm going to remember that thing forever. Well, that looks like a drunken Monet painting,
mind. The moon's really big tonight. You take a picture of it, and it's like 3 pixels.
A light bulb in an empty room. But, yeah, so wild times about UFOs and lights and things. As I mentioned, basically the only shred of truth in this so far was that the people who were mentioned in it were real people. And that Project Blue Book was mentioned, and that is a thing that happened once. There's not a ton of supporting evidence. There was a man who claimed to be connected to the USAF official Office of Special Investigation, which they were the ones who originally launched sort of inquiries into the Majestic 12 documents, mm-hmm. and the USAF did oversee Project Blue Book. So, like, it's reasonable to believe that there's some potential truth to this. But he approached a filmmaker and claimed that he could provide film and documents proving the existence of Majestic 12 and the existence of small gray aliens. So he did not hold back. He was ready.
He has everything.
He has everything.
Did he just show him a reel from Men in Black?
Yeah, he never produced any of these things.
Sick. Did he forget how film works and just opened it all up?
Jeez.
He just stood in the sun and was like, hey, you need to put these
in
the sun,
right?
Let
me look at these images real quick. Oh, yep. They're all...
Oh, no.
More reasons why we need to fight the sun. Fightthesun.com.
Hashtag fight the sun. But I thought that was an interesting thing. Like, he approached a filmmaker and was like, I got all this stuff for you. Definitely. Let's make a movie about it. And they're like, all right, cool. Where's the stuff? And he's like,
I left it
in my other pants. Damn.
So I had it, but...
He wouldn't believe me. I was mugged by small aliens on the way here. They took it all.
So I had it, but instead I just slipped it under someone else's door in an envelope, and oops.
Yep. So yeah, those were the first... So there was the memo, and then there was the original documents. And apparently in 1996, there was supposedly the MJ-12 Special Operations Manual, which sounds nice and fancy, doesn't it?
Rolls off the tongue.
Sounds professional.
Yeah, sounds very professional.
Very seductive.
M90.
Ooh, Special Operations. Yeah.
Give them the operations.
Give them the business. that made the rounds in the ufologist community. But that one was pretty roundly regarded as a fake just to perpetuate the Majestic 12 narrative. Because the Majestic 12 were supposedly created, you know, in the waning days of World War II. But the first information about them didn't surface until, like, the 80s. Mm-hmm. So there's plenty of room to fill in some blanks.
Of course.
As it were.
So this first dude who got the film in the mail, like...
Yes.
I can't remember if you said this or not, but was he somebody?
Not really. Not that I'm aware of. Now, I might have...
He was a homeowner.
He was a homeowner. He did own a home. I might have missed that. He was kind of like... It focused more on Moore, a lot of the stuff that I found. Like, he was the first one to find stuff. But then his UFOologist conspiracy theory buddy really kind of took over with it. Mm-hmm. But no, I didn't find a ton on him. I might be wrong. Maybe I was looking in the wrong place. But I don't believe he was... He wrote a book after, I believe, detailing the events.
Yes.
But, yeah, no. So, let's see. Now, the fun part is that it has actually caused a divide in the UFOologist community where... You know, some of them believed that these were absolutely, you know, these were things that happened and proof of
factual
the government interfering with, you know, alien specimens and all sorts of stuff about cover-ups and, you know, definitely trying to keep, because one of the Majestic 12's, like, mandates was to keep aliens secret.
Okay.
That is not a thing that the general public needs to know about.
Yeah.
People are dumb. People get scared.
Yeah. But there were a lot of people who, inside the community, who thought it was a hoax, which sort of, I feel like that's,
it's
not super common.
Right. Like, it seems very interesting once, like, within the conspiracy community when they begin to question their own conspiracies.
Yeah.
And I mean, I guess it makes sense. Like, not every conspiracy theory believer is going to believe in all conspiracy theories. Some of them directly contradict each other, like Hollow Earth versus Flat Earth, for instance.
Oh yeah,
that nobody really overlaps there.
No, I think
dirty globes.
Could we just get one of each of them on the show and just listen?
Oh my god, I would love that.
I think, like, you know, skepticism is nice and all. Like,
yeah,
yeah.
I don't know where to find the internet presence of the Hollow Earth, though.
I don't know.
We found the.
I found the flat earth people are pretty easy. To the Hollow Earth. I think they all made it there.
Yeah.
They're just all there. They don't have internet in the Hollow Earth.
It's just shitty Wi-Fi.
Because remember,
have you tried to get Wi-Fi to go through like three walls? Doesn't really work too well. Try to get it to go through the planet's crust. They do not get Netflix down there.
Well, what do they do down there?
They just like
occult rituals,
chill with the fucking dinosaurs,
chase dinosaurs,
chill with the inner sun.
Actually, they probably have to fight all the Nazi treasure hunters who went down there.
It's probably true.
Then they like deal with all the Vrilya, and the Vril staves,
and also the like cavemen that are also down there
and hanging out with Maria Orsic.
They can't still be down there if you know the flat or the Hollow Earthers has been down there for some time.
I mean, you never know. Maybe they coexisted.
Peace, yeah.
Yeah.
I think the Hollow Earthers went down there around like 2011 because I found something where they were going to have an expedition.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I
could never find any posts afterwards. So I assume
they went to
the Hollow Earth. And
they
just
did
never,
it.
They just never had any posts afterwards.
Because there's no Wi-Fi down there. It's the only drawback of the Hollow Earth. There's all the real energy you could ever want and like infinite knowledge, but
no Wi-Fi.
No Wi-Fi.
You're permanently like stuck in whatever year you left Earth.
You really gotta like weigh it, you know. Like,
I wonder if they launch
omniscience Netflix. Like,
pros and cons, right?
Probably gonna take Netflix.
Like a list.
I wonder if they launch like cultural raids to the surface, where like we need new music.
We've been listening to New Age jazz for too
long.
I'm
tired of listening to Taylor Swift. We're never, ever getting back together.
It's been years.
We get it. You're not getting back together. Moving on.
Yes. So
anyway.
Last couple things.
This has got to be its own episode.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited for the Hollow Earth one. But, yeah. No, last couple of things. So one of the people who actually came out against the Majestic 12 to denounce them was actually none other than Carl Sagan.
I love it.
In one of his books, he was like, this is childish and a fairy tale.
Was it in Billions and Billions?
No, I believe it was in a different one.
No, okay.
It was one, I don't
it's
remember
the only
book
of his I know the name.
No,
of, aside from Contact.
I don't remember the title, but I don't think it was that one. It was something else. But another fun was this, that there was another 20-page report that came out. However, they seemed even faker than the others because they are littered with grammatical errors and contain information that directly goes against the original documents that it's supposed to be supporting.
Was it written by someone with the surname of Soda and the first name of Orange?
No, I don't believe so.
Oh.
But yeah, so they were like, and this happens every few years, and this is sort of UFOologists sort of get annoyed now because they're like, just stop. For the most part, they seem to not believe in the Majestic 12, but every couple of years, somebody else supposedly comes out, and it's like, Majestic 12 still going? And they're like, no, stop. You can actually read the Majestic 12 documents, the first one. It is in the FBI archives, which you can access freely. I might be on a list now, but...
you probably are on a list.
Yeah, you can go to them.
Let's be honest, though. You were already on a list.
Yeah, I probably was.
You didn't use it here, did you?
No.
I don't want the IP address be traced back to here.
Oh, no, you're good. I was...
This is our secret recording bunker, and we just can't have it.
I was in sunglasses
exposed.
And a trench coat in a McDonald's in Iowa.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
If you're wearing a disguise while you're on the internet, you're untraceable.
It's true. That is a fact. I read that on the internet.
If you're wearing a trench coat on the internet, you're untraceable.
Yeah.
Also fingerless gloves.
Correct.
Yep. They make it so.
Did you have the fedora on?
Your fingers move so fast.
I didn't. I think they know. I think they're onto me.
They're going to figure it out.
Oh, man.
Does a V for Vendetta mask count, maybe?
Yes. But you got to be more in the shadows for that.
Yeah.
You can't just sit around.
Like, half your face has to be covered with shadow.
You can't just be, like, 3 in the afternoon into Denny's.
No, no. No, you gotta be in the shadows for that.
I'll have the Grand Slam.
Yeah, just, like, mid, like, conspiracy recording, you just hear him, like, lean away, and he's like, yeah, I'll have the Grand Slam. Like, can we do that? Can
that
we go record?
Distortion. Yeah, I'll have the Grand Slam.
Can we record in a Denny's? Will they let us do that? We could record an Anchor.
We could.
We should
do
that.
We
should do that. Yeah, so the new documents that were littered with spelling errors and looked like fakes, they detailed the recovery of a downed alien craft and its surviving members near Aztec, New Mexico in 1948.
Okay.
Now, the problem with that is that they supposedly interrogated the survivors.
They spoke to the aliens.
Yes.
With
However,
their mouths.
Yes. With their meat flaps that produce sound. The problem with that, though, is people are pretty positive that aliens wouldn't speak in, like, perfect English sentence structure.
Maybe that makes sense.
More. I don't know about that.
Yeah.
English is the only language that's good.
Have you ever heard anything else spoken?
So.
Yeah. Now, the fun part is, too, that the FBI actually weighed in on the Aztec crash, and they have decided that it is absolutely a hoax, because in 1953, two men had been arrested previously and were charged with fraud in 53, because they had gone around selling... machines that they claimed were reverse engineered from the wreckage of the Aztec crash.
Ooh.
And that could just find gold, oil, like
Ormus.
Ormus. Winston Ormus. He's hiding under a rock. He's real friendly country fellow though. But yeah, and they were actually convicted of fraud charges. And that was where the start of the Aztec crash, like, stories. Mm-hmm. It started with them propagating it so they could sell their garbage machines.
Do we know what the machines actually did?
Nothing.
I bet, yeah.
Nothing.
I bet
they were
did nothing.
Literally
did
just like...
They're just like...
Were they just like
stuff?
Repurposed, like, metal detectors?
Probably, yeah. Like, they were... I forget the... It said the oil industry actually had a term for them where they were just like fake prospecting equipment, basically.
Ye old hoax machine.
Yep.
Like a Y-shaped stick.
Yeah. covered in like alien runes.
I swear it works.
Now the fun part is
if it beeps, it just right there.
It's right there.
That's the spot.
I've seen Beverly Hillbillies. That's how it works, right? So the FBI, not only did they like weigh in that the original Majestic 12 documents were absolutely faked, if you go to the FBI archives and read them in big black Sharpie, they have bogus written on every single page.
Bogus.
Yeah. So I thought that was a fun sort of childish touch where like they did actually edit stuff like which makes it look a little suspicious, but I assume that was just like names of things that they didn't want released. But
so they edited the documents.
They edited
the
documents, wrote bogus literally like from one corner to the other across the entire, like it's not just at the top. It's just scrawled across the entire page
bogus.
Of each one. But the USAF Office of Special Investigation also issued a statement that was just like, hey, these are fake. This is not a thing. So, of course, people who believe in them are like, ah, they denied it. It must be true.
Right.
Because that's how conspiracy theories work. You can't really have one without the other. It's fake news. It's really happened.
It is an interesting like psychological effect that as soon as someone denies something, it's like
it's obviously fact then.
That proves it for
absolutely.
Me.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Solid unrefutable proof. So both organizations have launched, you know, investigations into the documents, and they are very certain that they are fake, which of course is exactly what they would say if they were true, because again,
right,
how do conspiracies happen? But it's really interesting. You can actually go online if you're interested. You can very easily find the original document on the FBI's declassified archives. They also have some other really weird stuff on there. They have a tab that is literally just paranormal activity, which I thought was kind of a fun one. There's like three articles in it. The last thing too is that because of where it started, where like the one guy got the film role, but his friend was the one who developed it. So a lot of people actually think Moore was the perpetrator of the hoax.
Right.
So maybe he even just ran up to his friend's yard and was like, ha, ha, because I know I'll bring it to me. And then I can be like, oh, it's definitely these things.
He was playing the long game.
He was playing the long game.
Go develop this film. And he comes out 2 seconds later and he's like, here you go.
Here you go. It's almost like I had them preset.
The and then, hey.
Hey. But
no one knows how developing film works.
Yeah. No, it is a mystery to this day, actually. Mm-hmm. We'll do a different episode of that. But, yeah. So, despite there being practically no evidence, it being continually sort of quashed by official government agencies and even UFOologists, it is the basis for, you know, the men in black going around dealing with alien witnesses or picking up alien material, hunting down aliens. And then that spawned a bunch of sort of similar tropes in sci-fi. So despite having basically no evidence to stand on, it has permeated our culture to the point that it's like a known thing. Even if you don't know about the Majestic 12, you know something that was based on them.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, what are y'all's thoughts on this?
I just want to point out that a serious Men in Black movie would be super cool.
It would be super cool.
Like something that took itself 100% seriously, unlike
Men in Black, yeah.
Although Men in Black is a treasure, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But, like, just think of how awesome a serious movie.
Something like Independence Day that really sticks to the facts.
I think Men in Black 1 is legitimately good. And Men
in
Black 2
is legitimately
hot garbage. And then Men in Black 3 is just like your basic.
I didn't bother seeing 3.
Just like whatever.
Really,
it doesn't
like,
matter.
You can watch the first one.
Like Men in Black 1, I consider like a good film.
That's what I'm saying.
And
I think
its tone is very good.
Well, I mean, it's still very much like a goofy movie. It's very much like outrageous and over the top. Whereas I'm saying, like, let's do like in like the 1940s or something, or the
1950s. Yeah, they started in like the late 1940s, so you could do like 50s would be like peak, or like you do 47, 48.
Yeah, like a movie based on that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh man,
like them getting like leads and like them having to like
imagine like
transfer phone calls and
like
everything.
A detective detective video game, but you're a paranormal investigator.
Oh, that sounds dope.
Wouldn't that just be X-Files?
It could just be X-Files.
I mean, it's kind of just X-Files. Actually, yeah. Did y'all see the original X-Files movie?
I've actually never seen X-Files.
What?
Even though we're called Mulder was right.
It's so good.
Before my time.
The second one's... Don't watch the second one that came out more recently. Just don't do it. The first... Have you seen X-Files movie?
No.
Ugh. All right. So I'm alone here. Cool.
You're alone.
Get used anyway. To it. Yeah. No, I am.
Are you saying you're alone now or...
Always.
We're not alone in the universe.
Oh, yeah, no. That's statistically
the UFOs
improbable.
Would say otherwise.
Also, I guess the UFOs are here. The UFOs.
The UFOs.
Man, how many versions can we make of this?
We've, like, deconstructed your thought patterns now, I think.
Yeah.
You cannot no longer say the letter U correctly.
It's true. But, yeah. I think it's a really interesting concept. It also sounds absolutely plausible because the government does love to control things. That's how it stays the government.
The government likes to hide things. That's also how it stays the government.
Right. And you would think there would need to be some sort of team or some sort of organization to do this.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense.
Well, that was kind of a lot of people. That's kind of what Blue Book was. Because it was like a very out in the open, like, okay, you have a sighting, sent, like, tell us.
So, mm-hmm. Why are they called the Magnificent 12?
Majestic 12.
Or Majestic 12.
I think it was just
There's always
name.
Just 12 members.
Yeah, no, it was a panel of, you know, those different, higher ups, and they would decide sort of how to handle things.
Okay.
I thought it was cool, too, that there was supposedly it's a group of sort of different types of people. Like, you've got the skeptic, you've got, like, scientists, you've got military men, you've got government officials.
They have all the tropes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It makes for a good sort of 12 angry men
scenario. Yeah, it's like 12 men angry at aliens.
Instead of trying to get somebody... Never mind.
It's a different tangent.
And maybe that's... maybe that's sort of where it comes from, because a jury has to be 12.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
I think that was kind of the thing. It was very much a panel that was like they definitely had to decide how to deal with events like Roswell, events that were, you know, purportedly like the Aztec crash, even though that's basically just a hoax. There were some other theories that they were a little more aggressive, that they would actually, like, deal with people who had gotten too much information. Mm-hmm. And, of course, in this context, deal with means murder in the shadows. So, yeah, like, there's two versions. There's, like, the sort of more scientific approach where they're like, we just get our hands on it first and we deal with it. We keep it out of the public's eye and we use it for the benefit of our nation. And then there's one that's like, you know too much. We are sending assassins now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. What do y'all think about that? The existence of such a group?
I think it's entirely possible.
Yeah. I mean, we literally had, what is it?
Project Blue Book, yeah.
Project Blue Book, was like the Magnificent 12 light. So
kind of, yeah.
So it just makes a logical lead into Magnificent 12, so.
Yeah, I believe Blue Book was specifically more about sightings. Like, they, you know, they didn't go out in trucks that labeled Blue Book to go, like, pick up wreckage. But it was definitely an experiment in, like, okay, what if we put aliens a little bit more in the public eye and we'll try to deal with it as, like, a public relations thing? I don't know.
How cool would it be for that to be your job? Hey, what do you do for a living? That's classified.
Yeah.
You could just say that anyway.
I mean, like, I mean,
you
I
don't
mean,
have
you could.
To tell
hey, Brandon,
people.
What do you do for a living?
It's classified.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you
it sounds
can
way cooler.
Choose to classify anything you want.
That being said, but if you could talk about it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I go to various places and
I
talk to people about UFO,
UFO
sightings.
Yeah.
You could still tell people that. You know?
Like, how cool would that be, though, if that was, like, your job? You get to travel a bunch.
Yeah.
You get to talk to people about weird stuff. I mean, basically, you get to do what we do.
Yeah.
Talk about people.
We don't travel.
Talk about stuff. I know we don't
travel.
We
don't talk to people, though. We just talk to each other.
But okay. We've talked to, like, two people.
We've talked to other people.
Other humans.
No, four. Four other
four?
People.
Four?
Because Boondoggles.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We have talked to four whole
yeah.
humans,
four,
Curtis.
Four whole humans.
Whole.
Yeah, well, I mean, assume
wait,
so.
Wait, hold on. Four? Divisible.
Oh, man.
I mean, we've only seen one of those people in...
Four,
like, we've only seen their
12,
image.
12, 12, a whole
only
number,
one
yeah.
of those 12 people, so
by four,
they could be half
three,
people.
Yeah, true. Or it could all just be an elaborate government plot.
It's Lakers.
To trap us.
To trap us. Instead of giving
You've
them...
trapped us.
Instead of giving them real podcast guests, we're just going to give them...
Give them agents.
Give them agents.
I mean... That sounds like exactly the mustache twirling kind of like shadow government thing that this is Majestic 12 is about. You never know.
You never know.
Why don't they?
They're
just
actually
like...
outside right now.
Shit.
So much of this like in the shadows conspiracy movement stuff doesn't make a lot of sense because sometimes in these theories, like what they're doing just sounds harder than just like killing the person.
Yeah.
Like killing someone's really easy. You just send a guy to their house and you
especially
shoot them and you're
if
done.
If you're the government.
And you don't have to like continuously trick this person over and over.
No,
and
you
over
gotta play
again.
The long game.
And yeah. then like right.
You have to have one of your agents like marry them and like 30 years later. The
when
dead
they're,
of
when
night.
They're on their oh when they're on their deathbed.
When they're on your on their deathbed, you assassinate them.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Just like
you
Mr.
thought
and
you
Mrs.
got
Smith
away.
Them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You thought you got away. In your last moments.
They're like, oh, one more thing. Let me tell you about these UFOs dead.
The Majestic 12 send their regards.
You're like, why are you
no,
even?
No. It's like an older woman. She just pulls off the mask.
Yeah. She just pulls her face off yeah. and it's like, ha ha.
It's like some dude in a suit.
He's just young.
Yeah.
A young man.
He like has the sunglasses on.
Already under the mask.
They send their regards.
Yep. Yeah, no, like, all the shadow government stuff is so complicated.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. It's terrifying to have, like, a global conspiracy that spans every aspect of government, and they control everything and know everything. But, like, it's probably a lot easier for them to just send, like, two assassins to your house, and then you'll never tell anyone.
Yeah.
You died tragically in your sleep of lead poisoning.
In the brain.
Twice.
The brain can only take so much lead in a given amount of seconds.
It's like all the weird, like, it was a tragic suicide, and then the medical report's like, he was shot twice in the back of the head, and they're like, yep, suicide.
Tragic.
The first one wasn't fatal.
Nope.
The second one was.
Oh, it's like that guy who, like, was shot twice in the head and zipped himself inside a bag. Do you remember that from like a couple years ago?
No. That was a thing?
Yeah, no. They like found his body zipped up inside a duffel bag and they were like, yep, that's a
suicide.
He padlocked himself in the bag for ease of transport.
Tragic.
You just like walk into the garage with someone. Hey, what's in the duffel bag?
What's in the bag?
Oh, I don't know.
What's in the bag?
What's in the bag? But yeah, no, like the Majestic 12. Like I'm sure somewhere the government has a group that tracks like, you know, supposed alien activity.
Oh, I'm sure
it's probably one guy in a server basement paid minimum wage. Because they're like, if anything really comes up, tell us. If not, stay in your hole.
We will pay you to sit down here and watch porn. But if something comes up, you're on it.
Right? Like, if anything actually happens, you can close your window and do something useful. But until then, just do you, man.
Enjoy those government benefits.
Enjoy the government, all the finest government content via the internet.
And then if anything happens, he's like the new general of the army. Like, he becomes suddenly in charge of everything.
Congratulations, sir. You are now the president.
Yeah.
The president prime. You are above the president. That's a rank we just made up.
Everything Donald you Trump... know is far more important than what we know right now, so you know the most, you're in charge.
It is I, Have President fun. Alpha Prime.
Donald Trump has probably fired and rehired this guy 16 times already.
Yep. Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like it's probably less intimidating, though, to be fired by Donald Trump because his tiny hands aren't as threatening when he points at you.
And he just fires everyone he's ever
It's true. To. He's... He is the suppressing fire of firing people.
I think we have all
people.
Individually been fired by Donald Trump.
Look,
yes, as a each member of humanity, like you come out of the womb and he's just there. You're fired.
You're fired.
Look, someone needs to tell Donald Trump that being the president is not the same as being on like Celebrity Apprentice. He can't just fire everyone.
So you know, if he gets impeached. The headlights are just waiting to use the "you're fired."
Yeah,
Donald
literally,
Trump, you're fired.
Everyone is waiting for that moment. They're just every person in a news place is just like ready. We have it already.
They
have it keyed up.
The typeset.
It's a
yeah.
big
like,
red button. They just
yeah. It's just the big red
they
button.
They have
where
a whole
just like,
extra like newspaper factory, all like inked up and ready to go.
Just waiting.
Yeah, just waiting.
Yeah. Because that's not preposterous.
We just need to stamp on today's date. We just need to stamp on the date.
All we need is today's date.
They've already written the article. They already know how it's probably happening.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the good news is that no matter how it happens, he'll tell us via Twitter.
He will.
Immediately.
It's probably from Covfefe.
Yeah.
Covfefe.
No, it's fake.
Tragic Covfefe overdose.
No, he's going to call it fake news, and he's just going to lock himself inside the White House.
Yeah, how do we get him out?
Speaking of fake news...
Ooh,
I actually want to give our listeners some homework here.
Oh yeah, you got some fun stuff for
I got
us?
Some homework. So, last week Tonight with John Oliver just released an episode last week about Alex Jones.
Fun.
The whole thing about Alex Jones. It's like 20 minutes long. Go watch it. It's worth the watch.
There's some conspiracies about him.
Oh, I know.
We might have to touch on at some point. I've read like one. It was wild.
I mean, you guys heard about like Alex Jones propagating all of the Pizzagate conspiracy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he had to go on air and apologize for that. which
<that's>
like probably wasn't very good for him. His lawyer was probably like, "Hey, you can't do this. You need to go and apologize." And he's like, "I don't want to apologize."
Oh man!
I mean, like there are like conspiracy theories about Alex Jones saying like that he's actually just playing a character.
Yeah, but
and that he's a comedian playing a character.
Didn't they disprove that though with his recent like divorce thing, where they were like, no, he can visit the kids, he's fine, and then they were like, oh no, he's terrifying.
He's terrifying.
He is a scary man. But yeah, so that's the Majestic 12.
I like it.
It's fun. It's kind of a spooky government agent alien one.
Yeah.
So.
Let us know your thoughts.
Please.
On any of our social media at MWRcast, on Facebook, on Twitter, and the Anchor app. Call in. We'll feature your clip on our station if you want us to. If you don't, that's cool too.
But
we still want to hear
from
us. You.
Tell us in advance because otherwise we will put it up there.
Yep. Tell us in advance on the app. Anyway, we'd love to hear from you because these things are always pretty weird, and hearing different sides of it is always good. So
yeah, it's good. Discourse is good.
Yeah. You can also find us online on our website, MulderwoodsWrite.wordpress.com, and you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, the podcast app, on iTunes, Google Play, bunch of different places. So
if you like the music, if you like the music, it was done by Christian Tedino. You can look him up on SoundCloud. He's a cool dude, makes cool stuff.
Yep. And also, if you guys want, let us know what you guys thought about the homework that I just gave you.
Yeah,
so go check that out. Let us know what you think. On any one of those places.
Yeah. And as always, feel free to hit us up with any topics if you have one near and dear. We'd like to know about it.
So. Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys.
Wake up, sheeple.